Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's that time again. You're in the Sports Maze with Mike Maze, helping fans navigate the storylines of sports. The pro and prognostication, Mike Maze, live here for you in the national studio of Blog Talk Radio. The Marty's Hamburger Studios of Blog Talk Radio. Los Angeles, California, Kobe Bryant's birthday, Jeremy Lin's birthday, inviting the powerful Laker Nation, Clippers Nation in today. Finalize the trade that sends Kevin Love to the odds-on favorite to make it to the finals, Cleveland Cavaliers. With our new segment, Can You Stump Neil Newman? Looking forward to VJ Wright coming in later. Our fantasy football expert, hoops expert. We're hoping that LaMon Murray might come in later on. Former Clipper, local boy done good. This is Mike Maze. You're in the Sports Maze, helping fans navigate the storylines of sports. And there is a special contest, and all you have to do is just friend me, like me, and you could win a night with Mike Maze at Staples Center at the world famous Lexus VIP room at Staples Center opening night. The first game of the Lakers versus the Clippers. So, that's Mike Maze, blogtalkradio.com, and as you know, our first segment is brought to you by Stiffy Automotive Parts. Do you have a Stiffy today? The finest in off-road vehicle accessories. You need those whip antennas, but you don't want to spend all the time to put them back after they crack off. For the finest in off-roading accessories, Stiffy Automotive Parts. Thank you, Billy Preston. We will go round in circles. And the first topic is Kobe Bryant. Happy birthday, Kobe. And he did take the ALS challenge today, and he didn't just do a little bucket. No, no, no. He did a whole whirlpool, and that is the way Kobe Bean Bryant rolls. And I don't know how he's going to roll on the court, but hopefully he will be recovered. He's played just a handful of games in the last 2 years. And people have been getting on me and for him receiving all of this money. It's not that. It's the salary cap money. I don't care if Kobe Bryant has $1 billion a year, but let him get paid that money as an executive with the Los Angeles Lakers when he retires and take the minimum right now. He is our son, our wonderful gifted child. We've seen him grow up from a 17-year-old to our beloved Kobe Bryant. But we want a winner, and due to the CBA and the salary cap restrictions, we have to be very smart about how the salary cap is spent and not reward an aging player, an injured aging player, with questionable leadership skills, 40% of the salary cap. I've said this all the way for several years, for 2 years with Kobe. Just overpay him as an executive where the team does not have the draconian salary cap of $4.50 to $1 as a repeat offender. And you could have attracted some people. I don't even talk about his personality with other players. I'm not in the locker room. I'm just talking about the business part of it. Now we have the segment called Can you stump Neil Newman? If anybody wants to call in and try to stump Neil Newman on sports, and especially Laker trivia, you will have tonight's honorary title as Neil Newman's stumper. Let's welcome Neil Newman. Yay! Hello, Neil. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Mike. It's great to be back in the sports maze. It's been, I think, a little over a year since I've been in. And it's great to be back on Kobe's birthday as well as Jeremy Lin's birthday. Happy birthday to one of the veteran Lakers and one of the new Lakers.
That's right. Jeremy Lin, welcome to Los Angeles. He just had a full wax statue made of him, and I'm looking for great things from Jeremy Lin. Where do you see Jeremy Lin in the mix here as starter, distributor?
He's the starting point guard. I mean, you can't count on Steve Nash. He barely could, even last year when he was supposedly going to be healthy, if they weren't going to even play him on back-to-back games. Now with this chronic back injury he's had at age 40, coming back evidently just for the money, I'm sure he's a proud veteran, a great guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, but you certainly can't count on Steve Nash as a starting point guard at this point.
Of course, Steve Nash could have gotten the money and been medically retired, and the Lakers would have had an extra $20 million in salary cap.
Oh, well, that makes too much sense.
Yeah, that does make sense, and he sounded totally ridiculous. As much as I was the greatest advocate on July 4th, 2012, when you and I were up at the Palm Springs tram celebrating the 4th of July.
We were high-fiving and partying.
We got the Twitter up at the Palm Springs tram, and all the people up there saw us jubilant with our lovely ladies, and it was the announcement of Steve Nash a year later than I had hoped. I hope Phoenix would have given him the reward for being loyal to a team that had no chance, but they did eventually.
Well, of course, we were looking at Steve Nash and Dwight Howard at that time.
Correct. And whatever the Laker Nation wants to say, and by the way, Laker Nation, you're welcome to call in at 760-454-7012, 760-454-7012, and we've reached out also to Clipper Nation because this is an equal opportunity talk show. Just keep it clean, guys and gals, and we'll be able to go around the horn. You'll have plenty of time to speak. 760-454-7012. There was such happiness and jubilation with the hope, Kobe hadn't been injured. We knew he had a lot of minutes on his knees and his body, and Dwight Howard, even though he had been a little tentative over there with Orlando because he was trying to people please, but can't knock Orlando. I certainly won't, especially after speaking with the great CEO Pat Williams over there, who I think is an incredible combination of John Wooden, Bill Sharman, and Tex Winter. And by the way, he will be in the stables with Mark Mancini and yours truly this Tuesday from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. That's CEO of the Orlando Magic, Pat Williams. So look forward to that. But on that day of July 4th, 2012, the Lakers had a loaded team with a Steve Nash that we knew had some back problems, but was good for 60-plus games at 25, 30 minutes a game. Dwight Howard, who we were hoping to make the future center and face of the Lakers, Kobe, and Pau Gasol. And I don't believe Derek Fisher had been let go of at that time. Do you recall?
I don't believe he was yet. That was it was during one of the first year of the Mike Brown administration. I don't remember exactly the timeline of that right offhand.
Well, I think Derek Fisher was still with the Lakers, and I thought that that was a very wise move to keep him to let him go because he was going to be on the bench or take up $2 million of salary cap. Was one of the beginning of the end for the Lakers, and I do not attribute that to Dr. Jerry Buss at all in his debilitated state. I'm sorry, Jim Buss and Jeannie. The Mike Brown move and the release of Derek Fisher was the beginning of the erosion of the Lakers, and not retaining Dwight Howard and showing appreciation for him coming back with a back injury, coming back early, was just the beginning of the erosion of the Lakers. If you can't keep Dwight Howard, why should I go to the Lakers? Might have been what a few stars and superstars in the NBA were thinking. And then to throw up a banner that looked so disingenuous 7 or 8 days before the free agent deadline just completely made me sick. A lot of people started calling Dwight Howard names and everything, but he still is a top three center in the NBA and has the ability to become a better offensive scoring force and is a great physical specimen, and I think it'll go down as one of the biggest mistakes in basketball, letting him go. And Mike Brown hiring him, obviously, now everybody has great hindsight, but I had the foresight, immediacy. Why are you hiring Mike Brown? Because Jerry West sniffed him a little bit from Golden State? There was
and if you say hiring Mike Brown, what about compounding that with the D'Antoni hiring when Phil Jackson was ready to take the job?
Well, you couldn't give Phil Jackson 2 days to call his family, his physicians, but he's just the sister and the president, the governor of the Lakers. You couldn't give him until Monday morning after you came to him, Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss, on Friday to ask him. And so you go to a Mike D'Antoni, who was only good because lightning struck time-wise in Phoenix, and Jeremy Lin might saved his butt in New York, and to some degree, or whatever happened in New York. But the Phoenix, it was lightning in a bottle. No one could leave, and they were young and running and healthy and hungry. And you give Phil Jackson a call at 11:30 at night saying your services are not needed in Los Angeles. And we hired a guy that just had knee surgery 2 weeks ago. That was on nobody's radar. Nobody.
You know,
this
I just want to remind
the most
you,
disturbing
remind
news I ever heard. It kept me up all night. All night. I heard it on the Fox live feed. It was not... And I just couldn't believe it. There was so much optimism in Lakerland at that time that Phil Jackson's coming back. He has a loaded team, and he'll have
the. And I would have liked to see if Dwight Howard would have walked away from Phil Jackson coach team.
Great
I don't
point.
Think there's any way it would have happened.
Nor do I. Nor do I. I see it as being a virtual impossibility. And even though Jim Buss, and I really do like Jimmy. I like him. He's always been a very, very gracious person to me and my family, and I've known him for years. He just made some mistakes, a lot of mistakes, and now more than ever in the CBA, with the CBA, it's harder to recover from critical mistakes. It really is, and the players just don't. You know, L.A. is not so much of a destination. Look, Kevin Love, he's going from Minnesota to Cleveland. He wants to play with LeBron. He's getting his money. And he figures if he's going to be an international brand, he can be an international brand riding in the jet stream of LeBron James in Cleveland just as much as he can being with Phoenix or... Well, Phoenix is not a championship team at all, but being with the Clippers or taking a haircut to be with Oklahoma or San Antonio. So this is where the players' heads are at, and as much as I object to this type of player control, it is what it is. It just is what it is. And evidence of that is the tremendous attrition in the season ticket holders and all of the calls I've been getting from my friends. And I was there at the beginning of Staples Center and the first day that Shaq and Kobe came to the Lakers as a season ticket. I was a season ticket holder. They're saying, do you know someone who will buy my season tickets? You know, they might not have two. They might have 10. They might have 8 season tickets. They can't maintain their tickets, but they don't want to lose their right to the tickets. So I must have received at least 125, 200 calls. And the Lakers are now like the Clippers. You don't go to see when people buy tickets for the Lakers, it's not about seeing the Lakers. It's about seeing their opponents. And that's a damn shame. It really is. I do want to welcome a couple of listeners that I just completely, respect their new friends. Ray Labov, who is also another sports guru, and you'll love reading him. That's Ray Labov. He also has a daily trivia question, and he's amazing. L-E-B-O-V, Ray Labov. And want to also say hello to Margie Hamer listening. And another sports guy with a lot of history and a lot of knowledge, Barry Allender. And also the webmaster in charge of Clipper Nation is with us listening, Dan Howe. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. And also Tanner. Tanner McConkey is now there. And I want to thank you also, Tanner. So the Sports Maze is rolling. And again, you can chime in. We'll get you in at 760-454-7012. That's 760-454-7012. I have Neil Newman with me right now. We're talking about the Lakers, the fact that it's Kobe Bryant's birthday, Jeremy Lin's birthday. Kevin Love just moved over to Cleveland. How do you see that trade affecting the various teams in that trade, Neil?
Well, as you said earlier, it makes Cleveland the odds-on favorite to come out of the East. I think they're saying Rose is looking great on the U.S. Team USA. He looks quick and athletic, and if he's healthy, Chicago's going to be a handful also. but you'd have to say with Cleveland's the favorite.
Very true. You got to love Tom Thibodeau, and I think he's going to change his coaching style a little bit this year in Chicago. He's always been a big regular season winning coach, but the team has faltered a little bit in the playoffs. I think he's going to take a page out of the Greg Popovich playbook and rest some of his players during the regular season. And I hope he rests them at home and not on the road as a courtesy to the fans that are buying the visiting tickets to see the Derrick Roses and the Pau Gasols and the Taj Gibsons playing, because I don't like that part of what – that's about the only part I don't like about Greg Popovich, is if you're going to only see the Spurs one time a year and you pay a premium price for that ticket, and he's going to sit Parker, Duncan, Ginobili, Leonard, and they're not injured, he just wants to take minutes off, or he even leaves them at home, then it benefits his team, sure, but it cheats the NBA fan. And the only constant in all of sports is the fan. And the fan is really at the tipping point economically in all of sports, aside from the halftime performers at the NFL Super Bowl. And I have a feeling that the NFL might have not paid attention to the old saying, the pig gets fat and the hog gets slaughtered. I have a feeling that there might be a musical unification there to say, let them play some discs of some Elvis discs at halftime. What do you think about the NFL asking Katy Perry or Coldplay or Bruno Mars? Well, Bruno was last year, but asking them to pay to play at the halftime show.
I think that's the height of arrogance. That's just unbelievable.
I agree. They are, you know, they kind of backtracked on that position, but they also let it slip, the NFL let it slip to the public that they weren't paying their previous acts to play. They were paying their costs, and a touring band like U2 or the Rolling Stones or Bruno Mars for their accommodations and their touring trucks and everything could cost several million dollars, and then they would get 115 million people watching them. But those type of details, generally, you don't want to release, and they did release that with total disregard to the artists. And in this case, I really stand behind the artists. As a former concert promoter, being the promoter of Ice-T in the original Cup Killer concert, where there was absolutely no problems with crowd control or anything, and it was just a pleasure working with Ice-T, and we know that he has turned his career into an incredible career in acting. One thing you learn is that you treat your performers well, and they treat you well, and you don't do that to them the way the NFL is, you know, openly tried to. Well, they disclosed things and disclosed the agreement not to pay them, and then they wanted to take their money away. And there's just something got wrong with doing what they did. So I think that's a storyline that we'll get to watch as we get closer into the next month or two, when they're trying to get an act for the Super Bowl, that there might be a little a little heels in the sand right there by the artist to suddenly get very busy and unavailable.
Can't blame
back
them.
Back to sports and off of the NFL, I'm looking here at the Little League World Series. They're getting numbers that are bigger than Major League Baseball. So with the new commissioner and Bud Selig out, Major League Baseball is trying all types of all types of ideas are being floated to make the game more appealing to young people. And one of those ideas are rules that are already in baseball's rule book for pitchers being ready to pitch and delivering the ball and batters in the batter's box. And that's a 12-second count. Now, I remember in basketball, there was a 10-second count or a 12-second count for the free throw shooter to deliver the ball, to shoot the ball to the basket. And Karl Malone, who was notoriously slow at shooting the ball, would be at the free throw line, and the fans would start counting seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on during him at the free throw line. Do you remember those years, Neil?
I certainly do, and he'd have his little mantra. He'd say nobody knew what it was, but it took him forever to shoot a free throw.
Right. It would be a wooba wooba or something like that. And but he did become a better free throw player.
Well, he was horrible when he first came in. He was like less than 50%, and then by the end he was close to 80%. Yeah, like maybe they should bring him in for you people out in Clipper Nation to give DeAndre Jordan a few free throw lessons.
Well, that's right. And remember, Shaq improved greatly when he had his Australian free throwing coach come in. And I can't say much bad about Shaq. He was the reason I got my season tickets to the Lakers, and I really didn't want to talk that much about Pat Williams, who was still back with, who was there then as the general manager of the Orlando Magic, because I was just a little bit, I was just a little bit too in awe of him. But we did go into it. If you listen to the Mark Mancini show from a couple weeks ago, when we did have Pat Williams on, he talked about that negotiation with Shaquille O'Neal, the free agent, back in 1996. And then you'll get to hear the whole story, but it was with great respect to Jerry West and great respect to Pat Williams himself, just an amazing guy. A motivational speaker and just an incredible guy on and off the court. And grateful that Mark Mancini, who has over 80 hosts in his stables from coast to coast through Blog Talk Radio, was able to arrange. For Pat Williams to come in, and we'll have him in the stables this Tuesday, along with a special report from Richard Aller about the myth of Dr. Fager, horse race, a horse that had better numbers than Secretariat. Now, that might interest a lot of people. Richard Silverstein out there? Apparently, this horse was able to fly through the air and even had weights on it, but the owner was afraid the horse would hurt itself if it didn't put weights on the horse. And had numbers that were superior in speed to Secretariat back in 1968, but due to all the press and media behind Secretariat, this story was kind of made a footnote rather than a factual analysis. But you can look it up, Dr. Fager, and hear Richard Aller this Tuesday on Mark Mancini's show. I do want to tell you that in the next segment, we have a special guest host to join Neil Newman and myself. That is V.J. Wright, the man of so many talents, NFL expert, fantasy football expert. Get your pads out. We'll be taking your questions at 760-454-7012, 760-454-7012. This is Mike Mays at Blog Talk Radio, and V.J. Wright has an interesting connection to the NBA, being cousins with former Laker, outstanding NBA player, Minnesota Timberwolf, former Laker, Kendall Marshall. Will have V.J. Wright in the house. You're listening to Mike Mays, Blog Talk Radio, The Power of the People with Neil Newman. That's Blog Talk Radio, 760-454-7012. That's 760-454-7012. Brought to you by Marty's Hamburgers, the finest in hamburgers since 1955. Marty's Hamburgers. You haven't lived until you had a Marty's Hamburger, home of the combo. And Stiffy. Stiffy Automotive Parts for the finest in automotive parts and off-roading accessories. Stiffy. Got yours today, STIFFY, Stiffy Automotive Parts, and Drew's Tickets. For the finest in tickets and service, call Andrew Silver at Drew's Tickets, D-R-E-W-S, Tickets. That's Drew's Tickets. We'll be back in just a moment. Enjoy Earth, Wind, and Fire, Shining Star. And we're in.
Are you there?
All right. This is Mike Mays, and you're in the Sports Maze, blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for listening tonight, and the call-in number is 760-454-7012. I want to thank Dan Howe over at Clipper Nation. Dan, thank you for all of your support over there, and Clipper Darrell, if you want to come in, we definitely would love to have you tonight. This was a special show, being that the Kevin Love trade was made over to Cleveland, was finalized. It's Kobe's birthday. It's Jeremy Lin's birthday. So there was just an excessive amount of chatter over on Facebook and on the Internet, and this is the beauty of being able to put a show out like this. It's wonderful. I appreciate it. I enjoy it. I get to hear what wonderful people have to say about it over on the terrestrial radio, and people that I respect in the media, Arash Markazi and the guys over at ESPN. On their Twitter feed and their Facebook pages, Fox Radio, 980, The Beast, home of the Clippers, going all sports. Owen Murphy, the program director. Nice to have you, Owen, and nice to meet you. And, of course, KABC Radio, my home for 45 years. Talk radio, now the official home of the Stanley Cup world champion Los Angeles Kings, and a place that has been very hospitable to me over the years. Leo Terrell giving me a home as Kobe Kool-Aid for several years, and Larry Elder also giving me a format there, as well as Peter Tilden currently. From 9 o'clock till midnight, he gives me a forum to speak at, and I want to thank them all very much as I get an opportunity to share my opinions as a commentator and to give some news as a journalist. So thank you all very much. Mike Mays with Neil Newman on Blog Talk Radio, 760-454-7012. 760-454-7012. Again, we'll be having BJ Wright come in for some sports fantasy league. Also, remember, that's Kendall Marshall's cousin, so we'll be able to get some inside scoop on basketball. Welcome to Clipper Nation. Welcome to Laker Nation, and happy birthday, Kobe Bryant and Jeremy Lin. Both celebrating birthdays today. We're going to turn the conversation over to the Clippers right now. Steve Ballmer, billionaire, spent $2 billion, more than pocket change, but kind of a little, relatively little from his cash to maybe make it a hobby where he's not going to necessarily need to recover all that money on the backs of the fans. So he doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have to raise ticket prices and charge and get himself into the situation that the Dodgers have gotten themselves into with you know, the good people at Time Warner regarding selling the TV rights to DirecTV and the other television providers. You know, NFL's teams are supposed to have a much higher value than NBA teams, and Buffalo was only able to get an offer of $980 million or $930 million, and they rejected it and are taking it off the market. So the $2 billion for the LA Clippers, which was $400 million more than Minnesota was recently sold for, seems like it was just something that Steve Ballmer had to have and was willing to pay the premium for it because he wanted to have what he wanted to have, and I respect that. I get it. He wanted an NBA team, and he's not old. He's only 57, but he might have – there might not be another NBA team for sale for 8 or 9 years, and there might be a group that's going to pay more than him for it, and he wanted to do it right now.
Let me
so
interrupt
Steve Ballmer,
for a minute.
Kudos to you for making that decision to you know, belly up to the table, and hopefully you'll take more of a position to let the basketball people do what they do and let us enjoy schmoozing with you up in the Lexus Lounge and having fun, you know, let you have fun being the owner. And it's a great thing at Staples Center to be the owner. You can hold court and have a fantastic time at Staples Center. Great people. Neil.
I have a hypothetical question for you, Mike.
Go right ahead, Neil Newman.
You mentioned the Buffalo Bills only had an offer of $950 million. Now, there hasn't been an NFL team in Los Angeles for upwards of 20 years now. How much would the Buffalo Bills be worth if they were the Los Angeles Bills?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, you see why the Clippers are worth so much is because they're in Los Angeles.
But is it build a stadium and they
the NFL
will come?
Doesn't – excuse me? Oh.
That is the whole thing, the political aspect of it. Is it build a stadium and they will come? Or if they come, a stadium will be built, and that
well, you talked
and
previously
who will build
about
it?
The, you talked previously about the arrogance of the NFL relative to the musical artists, and I think they expect the city to put up the money to build a stadium, and which has been done in other markets, but I think Los Angeles has so far resisted that.
LA has been a bargaining chip for other cities to get the tax and bond initiatives there, and we could revisit that NFL issue in Los Angeles in a moment when VJ comes on because he has some strong opinions on that too. But regarding the Clippers, I think one of the first things that would be very ingratiating by Steve Ballmer to do, and I have a two-point plan for Steve Ballmer, the first thing I would like him to do is hire one advisor, a Laker legend and a Clipper legend, and that person is named Elgin Baylor. Having run into Elgin recently, he's a man of substance in great shape, great condition, and would be a fabulous executive to have right down on the court for as many games as he cared to go to and give his opinion on the Clippers' operations. I think that would be a tangible, symbolic, as well as efficient and effective basketball decision by Steve Ballmer to hire Elgin Baylor. What do you think about that, Neil Newman?
Well, I grew up loving Elgin Baylor. He was my favorite, absolutely my favorite player as a kid growing up. I've always admired him. People don't even realize what a great player he was. I'm old enough to remember. And he took a lot of you-know-what during his years as the general manager of the Clippers. And he didn't really have the authority to do what he wanted to do. But he did it with class. And bringing him back at this point in any capacity he wanted would just be the right thing to do. And you know, one thing the new Dodger administration has done that's been good has been bringing back the old people. Sandy Koufax was estranged from the Dodgers for a while during the Fox administration and during the McCord administration. But he's back now. They brought back the old Dodgers, and they should bring back somebody like Elgin Baylor to the Clipper fold.
Great points. Just so great correlation. If the Guggenheim Group and Magic Johnson are bringing back some of the Dodger legends, and really, that's what makes the Dodgers so great. You keep Vin Scully until you ask him, please come back, Vinny, please come back, as well as all the legends, the Maury Wills, the Rick Mondays, all the fantastic legends. Then you do that with the Clippers as well. You bring back the Clippers that did wonderful things, the Danny Mannings. Of course, that was a long time ago, and there was no championships, but it was Clipper glory in spite of low salaries. And, of course, you want to look to the future, but you embrace the wonderful times that the Clippers did have with what they were spending relative to other teams. And you also had Larry Brown as the coach. So there were some very good Clipper times. And another thing that I would recommend that Steve Ballmer does, if I can be humble enough to recommend that, is to start putting up Clipper names of great Clippers. Well, how many are in the Hall of Fame? Well, how about the Broadcasting Hall of Fame? Well, one person that is worthy of that is Ralph Lawler, who has been the consummate professional for over 30 years with the Clippers and has not missed a game. Just has an incredible record. And to put up Lawler on the same wall as Chick Hearn is not anything but a compliment to both great announcers. So what would you think of Ralph Lawler being the first Clipper great to go up on the Staples Center Clippers Wall of Fame?
Well, he deserves it. He's nothing but a class act, and he's a great broadcaster. And it's very appropriate. He's at an age where they should honor him while he still can, and he can enjoy it, and the fans can enjoy it, and it'll be just a great symbolic act.
I would say, whoa, Nelly, Lawler's Law, and whoa, Nelly, Lawler's Law, and aside from hiring Elgin Baylor to the Clippers, bingo, baby. I would definitely put up Ralph Lawler's jersey, Ralph Lawler in a microphone in Staples Center to honor Ralph Lawler. Well, it's football's coming up. And everybody's going fantasy football crazy. And this is Roy Firestone's favorite time of the year. He was going on about it. And it's a lot of people's because you have baseball winding down and basketball still is getting chatter with the trade like Kevin Love today. And you have NCAA football getting going. And football's, the exhibition still gets higher rating in exhibition than most other sports get in regular season, to the point where the Grammy Awards, which traditionally were on a Sunday, have moved their show to a Monday to not conflict with an exhibition game. Coming to us live, fellow alumni, the one, the never-wilting flower, the always opinionated but never understated cousin of Kendall Marshall, fantasy football guru, VJ Wright. Ooh, VJ, how are you tonight?
You know what, man? That is number one. Thanks for having me on, man. I'm always blessed to be on your show, man, and do this thing with you. But you, that was probably the best intro I've ever had in my sports talk career. I mean, you got the award right now. Come on up and accept your prize, Mr. Mike Mays.
Well, thank you, VJ. As I get to know you better, I get to find out more incredible things about you. VJ Wright of Washington, spending so much time in Bristol, Connecticut, but now blessed to have him as a neighbor in Los Angeles at this
yes.
time. Tell me
yes.
what's moving your meter right now, VJ Wright.
Well, number one, I would be remiss if I didn't congratulate the Southside Chicago Little League World Series team for capping off their great, great run. Haven't been to the championship game or won it all since 1967. They take out Las Vegas today, win the United States Little League World Series. And I tell you, man, you got me on it. You told me to start watching last week, and I started to a little more with the two football shows I'm doing and with the fantasy show that starts next week. My focus has been 100% on the pigskin on, you know, so many levels. I even watched two high school games at a DVR last night when I was up late last night just flipping through my
sick.
TV.
You just follow
yeah.
VJ
yeah,
Wright. You'll know about all the fantasy. But I teased that Little League World Series to him. I said, I love it.
You
I
did.
Love watching
you
these
did.
Kids.
You did, and the game today was great. I got a chance to watch it at work, and you know what? Tomorrow, I got a lot of football to watch tonight from my DVR, and I, you know, games to watch tomorrow. But I will watch that game tomorrow against South Korea live. I'm going to watch the live because I want to see if these guys can pull it off. And I'm praying and I'm pulling for them. So honestly, what's moving my meter tonight, man? Of course, preseason football. Sam Bradford went down with an injury. You and I spoke about that about a week ago. Was he the quarterback of the future for the Rams? And I should have taken a quarterback. But you know what, man? I'm going to put my old Little League cap on from the Dell City Cardinals, 1991 to 1993, when I played second base.
There
and
you go.
Cleanup. So I'm going to put on my Little League cap back again tomorrow, man, and I'm going to live like a kid chewing Big League gum as if it was a mouthful of tobacco. And I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to watch every bit of it. I'm going to watch every pitch and swing, and I'm not going to miss a second of it. So that's what's moving my meter right now. Very proud of those kids, man, to come from, you know, we all know what Southside Chicago is. No one needs any introduction to Southside Chicago. And to be able to, you know, really pull through all of this and get there and knock off better teams that, you know, have better kids and be in a championship game, it almost feels godsend. So I'm very interested in that, Mike.
Well, that just goes completely around the horn of sports there. And you got to watch out for the South Korean team. They do a couple things that I think the coach of Chicago is just not going to let this one-upsmanship pass. I was telling you about this, that there's going to be a batter hit on the South Korean team because they crowd the plate, much like you know, a major league player would do, but they stand completely on the inside chalk. Neil, I'm telling you that. And VJ, they stand on the inside chalk and they dare the pitcher to throw inside. And so therefore, many of the pitchers don't throw inside, almost none of them, and they take the strike zone away with their body. And I have a feeling Chicago is going to say, if you want to stand in the strike zone, then you are going to get hit in the strike zone, and there's going to be some contesting of hit batters. Japan did the exact same thing, and I just thought it was, you know, I didn't like that type of baseball, not for 11 to 13-year-olds. So watch for that. And another thing, watch where Korea positions their catcher way out of the strike zone, outside, and they try to get strikes that hit the catcher's glove, but it's outside of the target, and they really are fooling the umpires. And if you look at Joey Heim, his blog, and him, you'll see that he and a lot of people have talked about the poor umping at these Little League World Series games, and they really have been substandard. And the umps have been fooled during that type of catching.
Yeah, let me just interject, because that's a good point you bring up. But this is why I actually really do like this. And see, I'm a guy who normally watches the Little League World Series. This is really the first year, Mike, that I haven't gotten a chance to get into it like I want. And because with the new football show, with me being back here in L.A., pushing my brand, VJ Sports Talk and Entertainment, on Sportsmanlike Conduct, iHeartRadio, all the stuff that I'm doing right now, I really just really shifted hardcore to once the finals were over, once I found out where LeBron was going, like everybody else, or where Carmelo was going, I totally shut the world off, and it's all about football. But the one thing I don't want to be, I understand what Joey might have been saying about the umping, but let's not forget that these are still 12, 13-year-old kids. Let's just enjoy the moment. Let's not turn it too much, and just my opinion, but let's not just turn it too much into a huge sports talk debate about the umpiring in the Little League World Series. Let's let the kids just play. Let's enjoy it. Let's have some fun with it. Let's root on our USA team. If South Korea is doing that, then, you know, hey, we know those type of countries to train their guys as their kids, excuse me, as the professionals do it. You know, we've seen it with gymnastics with China. We've seen it with ice skating with Japan. They teach their kids from, you know, damn near birth to do it the professional way. And there's strike zone issues in Major League and college baseball with the way that catchers place their gloves to try to gain calls. The way I look at that is, hey, man, that's honestly part of the game. Yeah, it's not cool to see at this age, but at the same time, there's Pop Warner teams with, you know, with 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds who are running spread offenses in football playing for Pop Warner. And you'll get a guy that goes, oh, well, you know, they're running this spread. Other kids can't play against it. Other kids, it is what it is. So I just don't want to turn it to that guy. I just kind of really want to just enjoy the moment. And honestly, like I said, I'm pulling for our squad. And I hope we beat them 12-0, 13-1. I hope we blow them out of the water.
Well, they have that 10-run mercy rule over in Little League. But look at little Monet Davis on Sports Illustrated. You talk about the attention.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be surprised if she gets a full scholarship to a Division I school in the next 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and I've been saying this for a week now. It could have happened yesterday and just didn't make the news cycle yet. And let me remind everybody, they're listening to Mike Mays, Sports Maze on blogtalkradio.com with guests Neil Newman and VJ Wright. Call in number 760-454-7012. 760-454-7012. And I wouldn't be surprised if Monet Davis got a full scholarship to for either basketball or softball. And she's already admitted she's not going to continue on with baseball, and I think the boys will get stronger. And, you know, there might be a story sometime for a lady making it in baseball, but I just don't think that story is going to come for a while. And that's not no knock on Monet Davis, but her aspirations, as she stated, are basketball and And that's great, but she'll be, you know, they're giving boys scholarships at her age, and there's no reason that UConn or someone like that that is extremely aggressive, or Tennessee in ladies basketball would not go and offer her a contract. And I think it would be a scholarship. And actually, there are contracts now because NCAA will be paying their players money, but within the very near future. So I guess as I misspoke, I didn't really. They'll be getting scholarship contracts, and she'll be playing. Regardless, and it'll be a good deal for her whether she's injured, hopefully not, or whether she's intact. She'll have a free ride for an education, and that'll be a great thing for her. Now, VJ Wright, fantasy sports expert. All right,
yes, sir.
I told you I'm not an expert at this, but I have been listening And some people have said, always take your receivers first. And that's been the majority of what I've heard for Fantasy League. But then some people have said, get your frontline quarterbacks first. How do you pick your first round in Fantasy League? We'll call this, this is Fantasy Football 101 with B.J. Wright.
All right, well, I have actually a system.
101 B.J.
Yeah, I got you. Trust me, I got you. 101, okay. I got a very simple system. I play in about 10 to 20 leagues a year for the last 6 years, and that's not fluff and inflated numbers. That is the honest truth. So my system is always, number one, whoever's drafting a receiver first, that's ridiculous. I would never, just my opinion, I would never do that. And I shouldn't say ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's just not my style. I'm going quarterback or running back first, and this is the reason why. But I'm only going quarterback if there's three guys that aren't there, four guys that aren't there. If Jamaal Charles is gone, LeSean McCoy is gone, Adrian Peterson is gone, and Matt Forte is gone, you don't take a running back in the first round because those are the top four guys. And honestly, in the NFL today, in the passing league, remember, the number is 62%. 62% of the time NFL teams threw last year. And 61% the year before. So even though just 1%, it's increasing. They're throwing the football. You need more Jimmy Grahams. You need more Gronks. You need more tight ends like that. That's why teams are fishing for them. So if you go quarterback number one, and this is as simple as 101 as I can get, your second round pick must be his number one receiver in order to win. You know, a good record in fantasy is 11 wins, 12 wins. Anybody winning, you know, 8, 9 wins. Yeah, you're getting to the playoffs, but you're probably going to play a guy who was, you know, 12 and 2 or, you know, 12 and 1, depending upon how many weeks in your season have. But I always go either quarterback or running back. If I have the first four picks, within the first four picks, I know I'm going to get one of those four running backs. Those guys are solid. Those guys are 1,800 total yards from scrimmage, 2,000 total yards from scrimmage type guys, which equates to about 300-plus points in fantasy. And if they stay healthy, he's a lock 15 weeks out of the year, other than the bye game. So you got to lock that position down. But if you go quarterback, it is the marquee rule of mine and why I've been successful in fantasy, you have to take his number one receiver. So for an example, a great first-round pick would be a guy like Drew Brees. You want to know why? Because I'm willing to bet, even in the 12-man league, the average guy's not taking Jimmy Graham in his first round. So he's going to be there for you in the second round. And that's a lot, 15 games. That's major touchdown yards, points, and you know, PPR, if you play in the PPR league. But the whole receiver idea, I mean, who are you going to draft first?
Well, how do you get points in fantasy football? You see, if you're a receiver, how do you get points? And if you're a quarterback, how do you get points?
Okay. I like to play what they call PPR leagues, points per reception. Leagues that aren't PPR, to me, are considered amateur leagues because you mean, basically, if I have Brandon Marshall and I get 11 catches, you mean to tell me I don't get nothing for Brandon Marshall having 11 grabs? So PPR league means you get a point per catch, you get a point per yard, and in some leagues, you're rewarded for big plays. My custom, my custom leagues are called the football gods, 1, 2, and 3. In my leagues, I get points for receivers that get 50-yard touchdown passes, 60-yard touchdown passes, 70-yard touchdown passes. Because in my opinion, you should be rewarded for an 82-yard touchdown reception, not just given the 8.2 points for the per yard and then the 6 points for the touchdown. I believe there should be an additional, like, 2 or 3 points on the back end of that, because that's a big play to make. Quarterbacks get points off of yards and touchdowns, and then you get negative points for interceptions. So the score's not hard at all. Once you play it, and like I said, you can get one league with me this year. I'll walk you through it. I'll show you. Once you start to play and you start to see how the points are set up per league, ESPN does it different, NFL Network, CBS, you know, all the Yahoo. Yahoo, in my opinion, is the worst one. I never play Yahoo. I don't like the way it's set up. I don't like the way you draft your players, and I don't like non-PPR leagues. I want to get points for having A.J. Green and him having 103 catches. I should get something for that as the year goes on. For the simple fact, my star receiver had 103 grabs. You know, so PPR leagues are the money.
Scorekeepers always do they ever make errors, or are the computers usually accurate for their fantasy league statistics, because there's usually a shekel or two wagered for the people
accurate.
That come in the money, right? That come in first,
very
second, third place.
Well, see, if you're talking money, when money's involved, at any point or another, there's going to be some type of corruption. We had this discussion about NCAA football on the show back on Monday. When money's involved, there's going to be a little corruption here and there. That's why, Mike, I do not, will not, and probably will never, unless it's all just on me, play in the money league. I just play for fun, man. I play for the love of football. I play because I have dreams of being an NFL GM one day. I play because I have dreams of being an NFL GM one day. I would love to run the player personnel side of an NFL franchise one day. That's a major life dream of mine. So fantasy is a way for me to actually kind of live that out now and really try to pick, because that's what you're doing. You're drafting guys.
He's
off of
crazy,
what
everybody. He's crazy.
I am crazy, man. I have no life. Mike, I work, and I pursue my radio, and I do my stand-up, and, you know, I hang out and do sports. I have no life, dude. All I do is this, man. And honestly, I love it, 135%.
I know you.
Man.
This guy's got so much energy. He is the son of a military family. His mother was a lieutenant in the Army. Did I get it right?
Actually, no, she actually was a colonel.
A colonel. Did she give her a demotion?
Actually, by two ranks, she gave her a demotion.
Oh, sorry, Mom. Sorry. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
She was a colonel, man.
Wow. So VJ is... Travels light and is on the move, ready to show up at any time, and is always military ready. But don't let that fool you. He's a man of many talents. Many talents.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Always impressed. Football,
thank you very much, buddy.
Fantasy sports, BJ Rice.
Yes.
We've got Neil Newman also on here, and I've asked Neil is the trivia expert.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, tonight is a night where I started a contest, VJ, that a lucky fan who likes Mike Mays, Sports Mays at Blog Talk Radio, and I've invited Laker Nation and Clipper Nation in tonight, will win a night at the Lexus Club at Staples Center with me, and that will be to a Laker-Clipper game this season. So, and also part of that will be Neil Newman and Stump Mr. Newman in sports trivia. He,
I don't know if I'm that much of an expert, though.
Well, see.
And neither am I. Yeah, don't put that pressure on me, Mike. Neither am I.
Well, he's much like the Schwamm. And as the Schwamm was rarely beaten, Mr. Newman, and if we pair him up with his brother, the other Mr. Newman, and we call it Beat the Newmans, and if we throw in Ray Labov and we call it Beat the Boys, I think then that would be incredible. And, of course, our good friend Joe McDonald as a fourth. And if you could beat the announcers, then that would definitely get you a very special title. And Joe McDonald right now, right this second, is up at in San Francisco at the game. But one night soon, he will be here, as well as Roy Firestone, Fred Rogan, and other friends that have promised to come on and support me, Mike Mays, Sports Mays Radio, and on blogtalkradio.com. Neil, do we have a trivia question for our listeners or for VJ Wright Remember, they can call in at 760-454-7012, 760-454-7012.
Okay, here's a question.
A question?
It's an NBA question. Name the sons of three, and name three, name three, the fathers of three current or recent NBA players whose fathers played in the 1977 NBA Finals.
Wow. So, name three current or recent NBA players. So they could have been in the last 5 years also in the NBA or presently. And their fathers were in the 1977 NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be the Jeopardy clock. Bum, 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 bum. We are a high-budget program. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Yes, we have a green room and a hospitality. Thank you, and a hospitality suite.
Does anybody need a hint?
I would love a hint, Mr. Newman.
I'm kind of going through it in my head. I haven't looked it up yet. I'm just going in my head, but this is a good one. This is a great one, Greg. I mean, go, you got to do it, buddy. This is your deal.
I had asked Lamont Murray to come on, but it was kind of late night, last minute. And if Lamont Murray was on, maybe we wouldn't give him a hint, you know, because he, you know, being an ex-baller, you know, we would hope that he would get it. But, yes, we need a hint, Mr. Newman.
Okay, this may be too much of a hint. It may give it away. But two of the three sons are either recent or current Los Angeles Lakers.
Wow. Okay.
Well, just think which recent or current Laker players had fathers who played in the league.
Kobe Bryant.
There you go.
Joe Jellybean Bryant.
He played for the Philadelphia 76ers. Yes, he played. Joe played for the Philadelphia 76ers in that finals.
Wow. Okay. There's one. You got to help me out, VJ.
That one was great. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, wow, I did not.
And we know we could all cheat and just go on the computer, but I'm not, and I have the computer in front of me, but I'm not going on
me
the
neither.
Computer.
No,
all right,
neither.
Why don't you give everybody the answer? I was hoping Ray LaBov
would
actually, I asked him to come in at 10:15, but this is the kind of question that I would like Ray LaBov to answer, but we'll have another one for him. All right, why don't you let everybody know this one, Neil?
I'll give you the answer. The current players, the recent players were Luke Walton. You had Kobe. And the other one was not a Laker. It was Mike Bibby, whose father, Henry Bibby, played for the 76ers in that finals. And, of course, Bill Walton played for the team who won that championship in 77, the Portland Trailblazers.
There you go.
So the answer was Luke Walton, Kobe Bryant, and Mike Bibby.
And now follow-up question is, where are they now, referring to the players? Where is Luke Walton right now?
I believe last season he was a coach on the Lakers developmental team in Long Beach.
And isn't he coaching an assistant coach with Golden State right now?
Is he? I'm not sure where he is now.
I think he's an assistant coach.
Yeah, if he did, he just got that position. I know he was looking for an assistant coaching position right away, because the word about Luke was always he was a coach. He wasn't going to be a great player, if I knew that. Kind of rode the coattails and got a few championship rings from other great players, but I think you're right on that. I think he might be an assistant up at Golden State. I'm not sure, but I know he's looking for a job. And I think Mike Bibby just retired now.
Mike Bibby.
Yeah, Mike Bibby,
you know,
retired.
He could have had a ring
well,
if the Lakers weren't so great during the Shaq and Kobe days. But that's just the way it goes. You know, my fellow fans who are out in Utah know the pain of all those great Jerry Sloan teams, and that's just the way it is. Luke Walton currently coaches for the Golden State Warriors, and that's the way. That's where Luke Theodore Walton is right now, at the tender young age of only 34 years old. So,
okay, awesome.
And so that's where
that
he
is. That was a great question.
Mike Bibby,
that was a great trivia question.
That was really good. That was excellent.
I wonder where Mike Bibby is.
He was floating around a few teams the last we saw of him.
I think he left with the Knicks.
And I'm looking. I'm cheating a little bit here because as much as I really love all these players.
I don't remember him past the Knicks.
Last played with the Knicks, and
But in his day, I mean, just not
well,
to defend the guy, but in his
well.
Day, Bibby was a baller.
Oh yeah,
well, he had some great years with the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah,
he was able to do it with it.
Yeah.
He was a prime time baller, and he loved playing. One thing about that Sacramento team, I always say, they didn't have enough heart. Not everybody, but I never worried about the heart of Chris Webber, and I never worried about the heart of Mike Bibby. He loved coming into Staples and trying his best to give it to Kobe, Shaq, and Phil. He loved it. There were games they won. Well, remember he got fined for doing the monkey dance? They deemed it being kind of inappropriate because of where his hands were placed, and he's dancing up the sideline after, like, hitting a three or something. If not for that Ori shot, and I think even Laker fans know this, if not for that Ori shot, Bibby and Weber were taking that Laker team apart.
Good point.
Well, that turned around the series.
Oh, of course. Really, it won the series.
It saved the Lakers' butt, that shot.
That's a nice way to put it. It saved their dynasty. If you really want to put it into perspective, that shot, because what was that? That was during the second year of their championship, or was that the first year?
That was the second year, I believe.
Okay, great. So think about it this way. In hindsight, they're coming off of being the defending champs, they're at home, and they're about to go down 3-1. To the Kings, who they're better, you know, they got Kobe, they got Shaq, but the Kings play better team ball. And Ori hits that shot. That actually, in just my humble opinion, that won the series. The Kings never recovered, even though I believe that went to Game 7. It went to Game 7, but if I'm not mistaken, the Lakers went into Sacramento and then beat them when Stojakovic started throwing up air balls in the last 10 and a half minutes of the game.
Yeah, the Lakers won Game 7 in overtime.
And, I mean,
those were the games.
And
I have some breaking news, fellas. Would you like some breaking news?
Absolutely.
Yes,
I love breaking news.
KFWB, longtime News Talk 980, officially is 980 The Beast. All sports programming. And the only person that is going to be held over from 980 The Beast, from KFWB to 980 The Beast, is the wonderful announcer, and they were all fantastic over there, but is Ted Sobel. Ted Sobel will still be at 980 The Beast, and here is the current programming that has been confirmed by my source. And I will have to keep that source anonymous. But here it is. The Trojans Live show will continue, plus the wonderful, talented Isaac Lohenkron and Brian Seaman will continue hosting KFWB's, now The Beast, 980, Clippers pregame shows. So that is... Isaac Lohenkron and Brian Seaman will do that, and the rumor mill has Jim Rome being the national show. So that is it. KFWB will, on Labor Day, will turn over. They're going to do a soft rollout to 980 The Beast, all sports. And that is late breaking news with Mike Mays on blogtalkradio.com. Brought to you by Marty's Hamburgers, for the finest in hamburgers since 1955. Marty's Hamburgers, home of the combo. That's Rancho Park in West Los Angeles. And Stiffy Automotive Parts, STIFFY, the best in off-roading accessories. Have you had your Stiffy today? STIFFY, incredible quality, always the best quality. And Drew's Tickets in Los Angeles, but serving the nation, all events, concerts, sporting events, hard to find tickets, all the award shows. Andrew Silver, sports for sports and all types of award events. If you want to get into to the after parties and all that, Andrew Silver is the guy. Drews Tickets, amazing service. I've known him for years, and that's where I get all of my tickets, at Drew's Tickets. I have VJ Wright and Neil Newman with me. I want to thank my sponsors. Again, this is Mike Mays, 980. Maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself. That's blogtalkradio.com. Sports Mays. Helping fans navigate the storylines of sports. Bring you a little Billy Preston out of space. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with BJ Wright and Neil Newman. That's right. Mike Mays, Blog Talk Radio, Sports Maze. 760-454-7012. That's 760-454-7012. Here with our guests, Neil Newman and V.J. Wright. Oh, what a lovely Saturday night. Kobe's birthday. Kobe Bryant, happy birthday. Jeremy Lin, happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Kevin
Kobe.
Love, good luck in Cleveland. And Andrew Wiggins, may you blossom into a superstar in Minnesota. Much love to all the players that have brought me so much enjoyment since I was just a little guy and playing on my local court off the freeway, not far from the Forum, always hoping that Magic would stop by on the way home and just run a little bit. And I did have my dream in Encino with Shaquille O'Neal stopping at my court and playing some three-on-three. Back when he was with the Lakers, and he has done it several times at the small court in Encino, and a lot of you people know that that's just the way Shaq rolls, and that's why he'll always be one of my favorite Lakers, even though he was one of my favorites before. Of course, I think Magic and James Worthy are just incredible as well. James Worthy is a local guy, as Magic is too. You know, they're just great guys, and as is Luke Walton. It's just one of the most wonderful things to run into a sports hero and to have the right timing. And guys, that's the whole thing with all people, is the right timing. Not when they're putting a bite of food in their mouth or when they're having a business meeting. You know, that's not the time to walk up to them. And you just have to realize to take a pass on getting an autograph or saying hello or getting a picture. And be polite, that's all. Just be polite. And even someone who's notorious for being rude or a little surly, like Kareem, is notorious for being surly. Will if you say excuse me, Cap, how you feeling? Glad to see you. You'll disarm him. You know, don't shove a pen in his face. Just say hello. And you can have your 20-second or 30-second conversation, maybe squeeze an autograph or a picture. But most guys, if they get a crowd around them, it goes on overwhelm unless it's a planned signing session. So let that be a lesson in protocol for everybody. You know, you can have an experience that you'll save in your heart, or you can be a nuisance. And I've chosen 99% of the time when I've been either at Staples Center up in the Lexus Room or in my musical career or being the director of the sports and entertainment division of a big real estate company. And I've sold, I'll just say it was in the L.A. Times. I sold Dr. Dre's house, the one that he did Eminem's first album in. It was Giant Palace. And it was I referred to him as Mr. Young. That's his name, Andre Young. And sure, I could have called him Dre, just Dre, but I was buttoned up suit and tie, and it was Mr. Young. So, you know, people are approachable, but approach people with respect. It's Mike Mays, Blog Talk Radio, with Neil Newman and VJ Wright. We're going to go around, we're going to talk about baseball right now, because it's coming down in the pennant race, and so many pitchers are getting injured and requiring Tommy John surgery. And that's something that was so foreign years ago, but statistics show 25% of pitchers are requiring that because it's such a successful surgery, but it puts the pitcher out for the entire year. And a lot has been attributed to pitchers starting so much earlier, throwing curveballs and high-velocity fastballs and playing year-round, and the teams are just accepting that this is a part of life for pitchers. And I just have accepted that, but there's a little bit of a whiplash against, you know, that's coming out. But it's a player getting injured. And in the past, the pitcher would just kind of play through it rather than injure themselves. Neil, what do you think about these injuries? And we'll go over to you, VJ. What do you think about all these pitchers going down? Is it just extending their career and being extra careful, or what's your take on it?
I think it's just did this years ago. You saw pitchers pitch on 3 days rest years ago. They go 40 games into a season. They'd be pitching half of them complete games. I don't know. It seems like they baby these pitchers now and they're breaking down. You know, I remember Don Drysdale back in the 60s. So, you know, and the guy just never missed a start. Of course, his career was over when he was 32. Maybe if they had the surgery then, he would have pitched longer.
Right, Big D. And how long did Oral Hershiser go? Another guy.
He played until he was well into his 30s. And he had a major, I think it was a shoulder surgery. It wasn't the Tommy John surgery. He broke down about a year after he had that great year in 88 when he set the scoreless, they had his 58-inning scoreless streak.
Yeah,
and I think he had shoulder surgery. And missed a whole season.
Right, the Bulldog.
But he came back from that and had a number of good years, and he was on a Cleveland Indian team that made the World Series. He was one of their top starters. And I think he pitched until he was nearly 40.
This Tuesday in the stables, Jay Johnstone will be a guest with Mark Mancini from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock. There'll be a segment with former Dodger Jay Johnstone. And he's definitely in my Mount Rushmore. I wouldn't say that. No. He's definitely a guy that's hit over 300 three times in his career, and a great fun guy. So Mark Mancini, blogtalkradio.com, 4 to 6, Mark Mancini. So yeah, more players are going down, and that's guaranteed contracts, and that's the way it goes. What do you think about that, VJ?
Well, when you talk about guaranteed contracts and big money and things like that, I mean, guys get paid. That's just, you know, it's kind of what it is. And the injury to the pitcher from Machado from the Orioles, that was kind of hard to watch, man, because they're 6, 7, 7.5 in first right now for the first time this late in forever. And they're above the Yankees. The Yankees and Red Sox have dominated that division with the Rays kind of creeping in there from time to time. But I've been on record before saying the only pro players that should have received guaranteed contracts, in my opinion, are the NFL players because of the physicality on the human body. For them, as opposed to, they're giving $110 million guaranteed contract to a second baseman. I mean, you know, I'm all for go get your money, go get paid, but that guy, he's not going to have concussion syndrome. He's not going to be in a wheelchair. He's not going to be on a walker. He's not going to be on a cane. at 48, 49, 50 years old. And 9 times out of 10, he's not going to commit suicide, you know, and things of that nature that we've seen. Lord rest those guys' souls. In the NFL, there was the one guy who actually left a note saying that he wanted his brain to be donated to science to examine. Those are the only guys, in my opinion, that deserve in pro sports guaranteed contracts, and maybe NHL players because it's so physical. So with the injuries, I mean, the guy gets injured, I understand there's tough luck sometimes, but to have to still hand over $20, $30, $40 million to a guy, you know, especially if he hasn't won championships, he hasn't done, like, you know, Hall of Fame type things, it's hard. I mean, this is Derek Jeter. This isn't a conversation. This
well,
a guy
I agree with you about football players, and I've been going around and talking about that they are really getting cheated by their union. And I don't want to take shots at their union reps, but I think they have the weakest union between baseball and basketball and themselves, because for the exact reasons you mentioned, they get knocked out. Their contracts don't mean a thing. The $41 million, well, it's guaranteed. And I know we're talking numbers that to the normal guy is like astronomically, you know, out of anybody's league, but you know, they're gifted, they're different, and so we're just talking about them relative to other athletes, and they
well,
do get injured,
right.
and I think that they should have more guaranteed contracts, and there is that money in the NFL, and then you take a look at what's happening to them with concussions and all that. So I've got to agree with you 100% regarding guaranteed contracts. And, you know, a guy gets injured, you know, to where he can't walk, and then you cut his contract, and it's like I don't know your name. I just really have a fundamental problem with that. And, you know, and then there's no league backup for mental rehabilitation or physical rehabilitation for these guys that are playing such a hard, violent sport and profitable for everybody. So, you know, and then basketball players, you know, they take a year off, they get paid, and it's not a knock against basketball. It's just making a comparison. It's just making comparisons.
In my opinion, Mike, the reason why basketball players don't get knocked for it because the NBA is such a popular sport. And in basketball, you know, you've been to, you know, hundreds of games at Staples for the Lakers and the old Forum for the Lakers and LA Sports Arena for the Clippers. You've been around, brother, so you know. You can get right up on the guy. And fans love access. That's our itch. That's our thing. That's our drug. It's access to the players, whether it's through Twitter, Facebook, or being courtside at a game. Going to a game is fun, but not sitting up in section 310. You know, you want to sit close. So they kind of get a pass because fans get enamored with them. They get either they fall in love with NBA players. That doesn't happen with NFL players. They wear helmets, and I've even heard promoters for clubs and outings and things like that where these players go. They actually call NFL players guys that have the helmet syndrome, being that when they walk into a place, they don't think you know who they are because they wear a helmet when they play, so they announce themselves by full name or quarterback up. Like, I've heard promoters out of D.C. tell me this. So they deserve, you're right, they deserve the guaranteed contracts, and I hate to get long-winded on you, but the NBA players get away with it. And it's the softest of the sports. I mean, these guys flop all over the place. Now, even, you know, the great LeBron James is a 6'9", 265-pound, great basketball player who flops. I mean, it is what it is. I get that part. But that's why NBA players, they don't really get knocked for it. You know, it's kind of cool to tease a baseball player for getting a hangnail or a pulled finger and missing 8 games. But basketball players get away with it. And they get a pass because people are just enamored with getting to athletes that close. NBA players are the most accessible.
Good point. We did have Greg Gastelum from Get Right Fitness. Hopefully, we'll get him back on there. Greg was the strength coach over at USC during the Pete Carroll and Pete Matt Leiner ears. We'll hope to get him back on there. But Greg did all the fitness training, and currently he has two locations of Get Right Fitness, also a sponsor of Sports Maze and Blog Talk Radio. We'll get Greg back, and he also has mobile training, get people in shape, and you know how it is with cell hell. You know how it is there, but that's okay. So a little more news there on I don't know about your Twitter feed, VJ, but mine blew up when Michael Sam made the big tackle on Johnny Manziel. But that was a big story, and all of a sudden I was just hearing all these pew pew pew. Everybody had a comment on that. Like that was a big tackle. Do you think that might be getting him a position somewhere, or what's your take on his longevity, or at least the start of the season for Michael Sam?
Well, I'll start by saying that as a pure football fan that I am, I have to judge what the guy does on the field first. I try not to get in personal life things. I don't care who's cheating with who. I don't care who didn't come home last night. I don't. That's not my life. That's not my marriage or my family or my preference of sexual orientation. I really don't care about that stuff. But because we live in America and because we are afraid of the unknown, and this is the first time that we had an openly gay player in the NFL, everything he does, from how many cups of Gatorade he drinks to practice, to whether he decided to have chicken or turkey at lunch during training camp, is going to be put. It's going to be able to find a way for people to know about it. But what I will say as a football fan is this. The man won co-defensive player of the year in the SEC, who everyone gushes over, who everyone loves. I was a firm believer that the BCS was created to make sure that they can get teams that they won the national championship game. And because everybody loves the SEC, they're always going to put an SEC team in. Go back and look at the 12 or 13 BCS games. There's an SEC team in each of them. Now, some will say, well, that's because the division is better. But that kid played in that division. And I feel the same way about Johnny Manziel, if I could real quick, that the people who say he can't play in a pro, well, we love the SEC so much in college, and they get the majority of the players to go to NFL per draft. I mean, just go look at the guys in the top three rounds. I guarantee you half or more than half are from SEC schools. But when these guys go to the pro, we say, oh, they're not going to make it, they're not going to play. Well, they're playing against the same guys that you just loved 3 and 4 years ago when they were in college. But the whole thing with Michael Sam is that I actually think he's a specialty-type player who can play. He rushes the passer. That's what he does. Not great in coverage, doesn't jump really high, doesn't run really fast. But neither did Zach Thomas, or neither did Kelvin Williams, or neither did Brian Cox. There's been NFL players who didn't reach the measurables, but because there's the thing of him being the first gay player in the NFL, everything he does is going to turn into a big deal. But honestly, as humans, we have to be respectful to that community. Half of those tweets you probably saw are probably coming from the gay community. They're proud of somebody who's like them. And we always tell people in America, be yourself. We always preach, be individuals, don't follow the crowd. But then when someone does something that we're not used to, or they come from something, or they choose to do something we're not used to, we don't want them to be successful. I choose not to be that guy. I think the kid can rush the passer. I think the kid can play in specialty downs in the NFL. And no matter what he does, it's going to make news. We just got to either deal with it or not deal with it. Trust me, there's more players coming. There was an Arizona State college player who came out to his team during training camp during the first like day or two of practice this year. Now you're going to see more guys. Once it becomes a little more regular, or whatever regular is to America, but whenever it becomes a little more regular, you won't see stories like this. But at the same time, he made a play on the other fire starter, firecracker in college in NFL football from college, who's Johnny Manziel. So that's what also gives it, you know, a little more fire too, is that he sacked the guy that you either love or hate, coming a privileged kid, you know, coming from college to the NFL.
Good point. He is was a person of privilege beforehand. And going over to Johnny Manziel and him giving the finger to Monday Night Football fans, this being somewhat of, you know, an all-American sport with corporate dollars behind it, and Johnny Manziel being fined $12,000 for giving the finger to national TV, I didn't hear. It was so quiet from his endorsers, Gatorade, Nike, Under Armour, Snickers, Kellogg, the autograph company. You could hear a pin drop. Their silence was deafening. I think he could get away with anything, and the money that he's going to generate for his endorsements is more important than the morality of his of the endorsement companies, and they just have a big bet on ignorance by the viewing audience that don't believe your lying eyes, like the woman who catches her man cheating in their bed. It's like, you didn't see that. You didn't see that. You didn't, like the Jedi mind meld. You didn't see that, Nike customers. He wasn't giving the finger on Monday Night Football. You didn't see that, Halloween candy buyers, Snickers customers. He didn't do that. That's Football Johnny. I love the kid. I've been a fan of his. You know, he's the Tiger Woods of football. Meaning,
yeah.
In the past at least, and still, when he's on, when he's playing, I want to watch him. But it's just so hypocritical that nobody said anything or maybe it's typical that you wouldn't hear a sponsor chastise him. You know, maybe he just didn't go far enough. You know, even my fellow broadcasters, just said, oh, he flipped in the bird, ah, ha, 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 ha. I'm actually making a proclamation. If I was told by my boss, don't mention Johnny Manziel in a negative light, I will listen to my boss, because that's what I do. I listen to my boss. Just that's the way it goes. Do you want radio like that? I don't know.
I guess that's
the way it is. You know, you listen to your boss, right? You don't say
of course
those things, but. It's kind of obvious.
But this is what I do love.
Go ahead, VJ.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is what I do love about Johnny Football, man. Once again, here's a player who played in the division that everyone gushes over. And I'm a Big Ten guy, so I don't want everybody to think that I'm this hater because I keep using the word gushing. But that is what it is. It's this over-love for a conference that is very, very good. I'm not knocking the SEC. It's great football. I watch it every – I cannot wait until next Saturday. I'm passionate about this. I love football. But here's a kid who tore that conference up, tore it up two straight years. Oh, the LSU game. Okay, it was raining. LSU's a great defense. It's a great team. Why are you trying to sell Johnny short by saying, oh, well, he didn't do well against LSU – in LSU, in the rain? Of course he struggled that game. That's LSU in the rain, at LSU. I love the kid because his moxie, he doesn't matter what people say about him. He's now, and I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, but it was smart to link up with LeBron James Management Company. Here you have, other than Kobe Bryant,
probably the most popular athlete in the world. Tiger's fallen. It's not Tiger anymore. And it's not any other NFL player, because NFL's really an American game. Basketball's global. Sneakers are global. It's LeBron and Kobe's world, sports-wise. You link up with his management company. You're in a football town like Cleveland. May not be great for restaurants. May not be great for fine wine and high-priced seafood. I get that. But it's got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's got the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's got LeBron James, Jim Brown, and it's got the Cleveland Browns. And he's with that franchise. Now, if
well,
they
that,
can put
that would
pieces
make
around him.
Cleveland right now. Hey, Danny Lopez from Cleveland. Shaker Heights, if you please. Now, you did a show with Danny Lopez. You know, he loves.
Yes.
I mean, of course, he loves his Cleveland. Even though he did have a falling out with LeBron James for a couple of years, huh, Neil Newman? You know, Danny tells it like it is, but he's a little bit of a happier camper now.
He,
what do you
he
think, Neil, about Danny? Is he a happy camper now?
I haven't spoken to Danny recently, but I'm sure Danny is standing at his head in joy right now.
Right. Well, it must be nice to be so many people are from Ohio, that are in the media, great players. And Danny points them all out to me. That's one thing that Dan Lopez does, is point out all the media people and the great players. He goes, see that coach over there? Ohio. See that player? Ohio. See the guy on the radio? Ireland? Ohio. And he makes a really good point. See that guy named Gifford, Ohio. It's like, oh, you're right. There's all these guys that have really made it that are from Ohio. But I'm from Pennsylvania, so that's close enough. And Washington's right down the street. Is that the truth, VJ?
Close enough.
Well, when you're talking about from San Diego to San Francisco, that's less than half the distance from Pennsylvania to Washington is less than half the distance. it's right down the street, relatively speaking.
Well, speaking of San Diego, I've never been. I want to get down there. I'm very excited about visiting San Diego. Actually, I went once for a concert, but it was just like a there and back thing. I want to go see the beaches. I want to go do the restaurants. I hear they have great food and wine down there.
Yeah, the Gaslight District. It's called the Gaslight District. It's great, and you'll love going to a Chargers game. Except they have some archaic rules about buying single game tickets for a Charger game. They want you to buy three games until the last minute. You have to like buy it in the secondary market rather than go directly through the Chargers.
I would love to go to a Chargers game. I've been a Phillip Rivers supporter since the kid was at NC State. I love his moxie. I'm not calling him this player, but Mike and Neil, tell me what you guys think about this comparison, just really quick. I always tell people Phillip Rivers reminds me of Dan Marino. Am I too far off there, or is that a pretty good comparison?
Neil, what do you think?
I think Dan Marino is more of a classic passer, but to me, Phillip Rivers is more of like, he's more like a spark plug type.
I gotta agree with Neil on that. I would watch Dan Marino on Monday Night Football, breaking records for yards and being compared with all the greats and Phillip Rivers.
I mean, Dan Marino is like a pure passer.
No rings, that's for sure, and they were both
I'm a Dan Marino
fan. Land.
And I've been a fan of his my entire life. He's the reason why I love the Miami Dolphins to this day. But it's something about his throwing motion, his moxie. I know Dan never won anything, but I could just be being a fan here, so correct me if I am. But, wow, for the guy that never won anything, wouldn't you say he played with the less than anybody else? Like, he didn't have Kellen Winslow like Dan Fouts did. Dan Fouts
no,
had Kellen
he had Jackson. He had Jackson and LT. Come on.
He had Keith Jackson. Keith Jackson was a midseason acquire. He only stayed there for about 2.5-3 years to play with Jimmy Johnson, and he was done. That's why Philly traded him. He was not to keep Jackson a Philly. And he was a mid-season acquisition.
With an 11 and 5 team, if you're always fading in December, that
you could take the NFL
you know, that there's
some,
there was something fundamentally wrong with the coaching. You know, I always talk about the triumvirate of a winning franchises, ownership, coaching, and on field on court leadership. And
but you know the combination of
coaching and on field leadership with the San Diego Chargers. And no one's real happy with their ownership either. It was a little bit of each with them, but none of it was strong enough to bring them to overcome whatever obstacles were in the way to get them into a championship game. Into the Super Bowl and a chance to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, you compare them with Denver, they got out of their way and they won. The Giants, they got hot at the right time with a quarterback that knew how to win fourth quarters. They won. The Steelers, need I say more? They did it, and that's the reason why Dallas isn't doing it. Jerry Jones is getting in his own way, and Romo is not a winner. But the coaches have been suspect, and you need all three of those to make it work. And Harbaugh is on the hot seat, by the way, on the hot seat, much the same way that Pierce was on the hot seat in Detroit, being a coach that was winning 55 and 58 games, and they handed the team to Larry Brown, and he ended up championship. So,
well, I'm a Pistons fan, so I love my Pistons. I mean, Larry Brown will forever be in my sports heart, just like Chuck Daly, regardless of what anybody says about Popovich or Phil Jackson. That's the part where I become a fan because Chuck was such a great man, but I'm like that with Larry Brown now. Larry Brown said,
you don't tell him out. But the Rick Pierce got jobbed in that deal. It wasn't a matter because he's a great coach.
Yes, sir. Oh, Rick really got screwed out of that, but he didn't win. They knew Larry Brown, shows you how great Larry Brown was, because they knew Larry Brown could win. They knew he could win right then and there. But Rick Carlisle took us to four straight
Rick Carlisle. Exactly,
yeah,
Rick
Carlisle.
Thank
took us to four straight Eastern Conference. No problem, buddy.
Well, you know, these 2 hours.
Four straight Eastern Conference Finals.
These 2 hours have flown by so quickly, and I want to thank my guest host, Neil Newman. No one wanted to stump the Newman tonight, but he'll be back. And VJ Wright. And what, VJ, why don't you tell everybody where they can hook up with you? And, of course, this is Mike Mays. You're on Block Talk Radio. You can get VJ Wright over at iHeartRadio. VJ Wright. We're kind of running short against the break. Thank you so much for listening to Sports Maze Radio, and make sure to go to VJ Wright. Google his name. Listen to him. It's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you so
much.
Thank you, Mike.
I appreciate it. Love you, brother. Hey, Neil, it was great meeting you, buddy. I hope to talk to you again, buddy.
Great meeting you, VJ.
Yes, sir.
Again, blogtalkradio.com. We'll be back over on on Mark Mancini on Tuesday. Remember, Pat Williams will be on, along with Jay Johnstone. Blog Talk Radio. This is Mike Mays, thanking Neil Newman and B.J. Wright. Sports Mays with Mike Mays, Blog Talk Radio.